Welcome to Touching Hearts and Changing Lives, hosted by Reverend Otley Holmes, Senior Pastor of Shiloh Missionary Baptist Church in Mesa, Arizona, where our vision is touching hearts and changing lives by the power of His Word, Luke 4, 18 and 19. Our mission is to go ye therefore and teach all nations, Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Now, please join us in a study of the Word of God.
Welcome to Touching Hearts and Changing Lives. This is Pastor Holmes, your host. And as always, it is my privilege and pleasure to be back amongst my listening audience as together we study the Word of God. I thank God for this opportunity to be back amongst you as being used of a vessel of God to proclaim the Word of God. Amen. And I thank God for this opportunity. And I do not take this opportunity lightly because it didn't have to do it, but He did. But as always, let us go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father God, we thank you once again for allowing us to come together and gather in your presence. Whether we be in our homes or riding in our automobiles or on our workplaces, we thank you, O Lord, for this chance to begin to study your word. Now, Father, we know that your word will never return unto you void. We just simply ask and pray and beseech you, Master, that you would do those things in our lives that would change us and conform us to the image of your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, we love you from the bottom of our hearts. We thank God for you, Master, and we just ask now that your will be done in our lives. We ask this all in Jesus' name, for his name's sake. Amen. Well, last week we had finished up the first chapter of the book of Acts as we've been going into a study of the book of Acts. If you're tuning in for the first time, and as I said the last couple of weeks, the book of Acts is God's revival plan for his church. And as you study the book of Acts, you will have the Spirit and ask the Spirit to uncover those things that could strengthen your church. This is not about finding fault, but this is about getting better for the Lord. Amen. Amen. We had talked about the replacement of Judas last week, Matthias, and we had talked about before the program wound down, we talked about the casting of lots. And let me just go back and kind of revisit some of that last information, if you will. Lots were a legitimate and scriptural Old Testament method for discovering God's will. And you can find that in Proverbs, the 16th chapter, verse 33, Leviticus, the 16th chapter, verse 8, and Numbers, chapter 26, verse 55. And we talked about even after Matthias was now numbered with the 11, you don't hear any more about him. Well, the majority of apostles were no longer further mentioned in Scripture either. Though the 12 had a special place and special promises, the number of apostles was not limited to the 12. We can find Barnabas in Acts 14:14, James in Galatians 1:19, and 1 Corinthians 5:15-7. Apollos in 1 Corinthians 4, verses 6 through 9, were all called apostles in Scripture. This is due to the fact that they labored under the derived apostolic authority because they worked directly under the authority of living apostles. So, again, I don't want to belabor that point, but we just need to understand that for the apostleship that was mandated in Acts, you had to either be under the direct authority of a living apostle, and a living apostle had to be one that was with Christ during his earthly ministry and was a personal witness to his resurrection. And I know the word apostle simply means messenger. So when we use it in a broader sense, then I'm okay. But when we start to try to narrow it down, I think we're kind of stretching the envelope, and that's just my opinion. Amen? Amen. Now let's go into the second chapter of the book of Acts. Now, again, this can have the chance of getting controversial. I don't wish to be controversial. I just want to share my understanding of what the Word says. So if your understanding is different than my understanding, then let's disagree without becoming disagreeable. Verse 1 of chapter 2, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. Now we see that this is the promise of the arrival of the Spirit. Now, the chronology of Pentecost is a Greek word just simply meaning 50, was the third of six Israelite feasts mentioned here in, shouldn't say here, but mentioned in Leviticus chapter 23. Now, let me just kind of talk about those feasts in Leviticus 23 and 24 for a moment, because they are critical in our understanding of the fulfillment of Scripture. We find that there were were spring feasts picturing Christ's first coming. We had the Passover feast or the unleavened bread feast, and that was Leviticus 23, verses 4 through 8. In the Old Testament, the purpose of this was to commemorate the Exodus. Now here in the New Testament, it speaks of Calvary, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. Christ died on this day. And then also the second feast of the spring feast was the Feast of First Fruits. We find that in Leviticus 23, verses 9 through 14. The Old Testament purpose, it commemorated the crossing of the Red Sea. The New Testament type is the resurrection of Jesus Christ, 1 Corinthians 15, 23. The next feast we have in the spring feast listed is the Feast of Weeks or Pentecost, Leviticus chapter 23, verses 15 through 25. The Old Testament purpose was it commemorated Moses receiving the law historically and the ending of the wheat harvest annually. Now, the New Testament type is the coming of the Spirit at Pentecost or on Pentecost. And then there were some fall feasts. Now, the fall feasts actually represent the picture of Christ's second coming. We have the Feast of Trumpets in Leviticus 23, verses 23 through 25. Now, the Old Testament purpose was the memorial trumpets were blown on the first day of the seventh month, reminding Israel of the trumpets blown seven times to command travel in the wilderness wanderings and as a reminder of the approaching feast. In the New Testament, we have the representation here of the rapture, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. The next fall feast we have is the Day of Atonement, Leviticus chapter 23, verses 26 through 32. The Old Testament purpose was a national atonement when the high priest entered in the Holy of Holies on the 10th day of the seventh month. And we have our New Testament type was the prophetic utterance of, or representation, I should say, of the tribulation. And then the next feast we have is the Feast of the Tabernacles or Feast of Booths. And that's again in Leviticus, the 23rd chapter, verses 33 through 43. We have the Old Testament purpose to commemorate the wilderness wanderings when Israel tabernacled with the Shekinah glory, the presence of God, historically, and the completion of all the harvests annually. Now, what does this mean for our New Testament? It is the millennium, when Israel will again dwell with God's presence and when all the great soul harvest of the ages will be complete. Now, let me mention some comparisons here of Pentecost. The New Testament Pentecost may be a compared with the Old Testament Pentecost. How? Glad you asked. The Old Testament Pentecost occurred 50 days after Israel was set free from Egypt. In the New Testament, Pentecost occurred 50 days after we were set free from sin by the resurrection. The Old Testament Pentecost was the day that Israel received the law. The New Testament Pentecost was the day the church received the Holy Spirit. The Old Testament Pentecost witnessed the slaying of some 3,000 souls. The New Testament Pentecost witnessed the saving of some 3,000 souls. The Old Testament Pentecost was introduced in a mighty way, Exodus 19, verses 16 and verse 18. The New Testament Pentecost was introduced in a mighty way. And in the second chapter, Acts, we see this. The New Testament Pentecost may be compared to the Old Testament Babel. At Babel, the Tower of Babel, we see sinful men working for their own glory. That's Genesis chapter 11, verse 4. At Pentecost, we see saved men waiting for God's glory, Acts chapter 1, verse 14. At Babel, God confounded man's language. At Pentecost, God clarified man's language. At Babel, God scattered all nations throughout the world. At Pentecost, God gathered men throughout all the nations within his church. Amen. That's shouting material right there. Now we have in these verses the coming of the Spirit at Pentecost. Now, in verse 1, it says the term fully come does not refer simply to the dawn of this annual event, but rather the fact that the fulfillment of the full meaning of Old Testament Pentecost was now come. The 120 were all gathered with one accord in one place. The place is not named, but has been assumed to be the upper room, or even perhaps somewhere in the precincts of the temple, whichever is true. they were definitely near the temple. Now, the arrival, as we've been going through these verses, the sound. This sound which poured out of heaven was like a rushing mighty wind. Wind is often used as a symbol of the Spirit in Scripture. Though Luke does not say it, the volume associated with things like tornadoes leads some to speculate that the sound was heard throughout Jerusalem. Now, that's just an opinion. We don't know this for a fact, but it certainly was an attention getter. Amen. And the sight in verse 3. But let me get to verse 3. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, I'm looking at my clock, and I'm not going to have too much time to go in this in detail, so we have to pick this up again next week to go into further detail. But again, remember, this is the section of Scripture that I said may become a little controversial because of different opinions on what actually happened here at Pentecost. Now, there was the sighting in verse 3. The disciples saw divided tongues like as of fire descend and sit upon each of the 120. Fire is often used in Scripture as symbolic of divine presence. Many associate this with the baptism of fire in Matthew chapter 3, verse 11, and Luke chapter 3, verse 16. Some even insist that we are to seek this with a variety of claimed manifestations. Others see the baptism of fire as judgment for those who do not receive Christ and his Spirit. And that references is Matthew chapter 3, verses 11 and 12, and Luke chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit descends and fills the 120, and they began to speak with other tongues. Now, I'm going to have to let this lie until next week. I would just suggest that we all open our Bibles and begin to allow the Spirit of God to really minister to our hearts. My brothers and sisters, it's been my pleasure to be back amongst you. Please tune in next week as we go further in His Word. Pray for me as I pray for you. I hope and pray that you have a blessed worship service. Glorify and magnify the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Tune in again next week. God bless.
Touching Hearts and Changing Lives radio program is an outreach ministry of Shiloh Missionary Church and is hosted by Reverend Otley W. Holmes, Jr., Senior Pastor. Please join us every Saturday evening at 7 p.m. on KXXT 1010. We're located at 56 South Robson Mesa, Arizona, 85210. It's right on the corner of Robson and First Avenue in downtown Mesa. Service times are Wednesday evening prayer meeting, 5:30 to 7 p.m., and Bible study, 7 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. Sunday morning, Sunday school, 9 a.m. Worship service is at 11 a.m. For more information, call 480-844-2687 or email sbchurch1011@quest.net. Be sure to log on to the website www.smbcmesa.org. This program has been sponsored by the membership of Shiloh Missionary Baptist Church.